Welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Welcome to the last live podcast of 2021. And due to us being on the airways for 8 seasons, we have enough content to keep on going. So although you won't hear my voice live, you will be able to hear replays. And so I'm excited about that and feel very blessed for that. I want to give a happy belated NIAAA Scholastic Athletic Director Day to all those listening. And it's really apropos for today's guest. And although this is our very last live podcast of 2021, I will be coming to you inside the private Facebook group, A Chat in the Garden, tonight and next Wednesday. I'm going to bring the contributors to you live inside the Facebook group. Those are the individuals that have contributed their specialized knowledge and packaged them inside the magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports. Really excited about having 2 issues and excited about bringing those individuals to you. And hope I didn't mess up. I got a call. Oops. Hope that I didn't mess up and break up the line. Engineer, let me know if I'm still good. And so glad about what we'll be able to do with bringing marketing is what I like to call it, of our individuals that are inside the Facebook group. It's important to be able to package your specialized knowledge. It's been a great resource and tool to assist individuals, to be honest, in the interviewing process. Because don't you know when you are interviewing, you're telling a story about yourself? So if you already have it already packaged in a magazine or even in your mind, that becomes a confidence builder. And to be honest with you, I was talking to someone this week, she was doing a presentation, and she said the number one thing, actually it was an individual at the NIAAA, said that she did a poll and said the number one thing is that they lack confidence. And I definitely know that. That's one reason why I started the Advanced Academy, to be able to build individuals' confidence in the quest to advance themselves in athletic administration. And honestly, to be very honest, it's really hard to just think your way to confidence. You have to practice that. You have to practice that. And the more you do, the more confident you become. Glad tonight we'll be in the Facebook group at 6 p.m. I'm bringing to you Katasha Turner. She's actually an Advanced Academy member, one of my most productive individuals, because when she came to me, she said she wanted to be an athletic administrator. She was a high school volleyball coach. I said, let us begin where we are. Yeah, let us begin where we are. I said, you can begin to assist your student athletes in the recruiting process. Let's do a photo on each one of your volleyball players. Well, you know what happened when she started doing it just for her volleyball players. The football players started coming in and said, can you get me? Because we came with a slogan, recruit ready, recruit ready. She made a name for herself, and we began, again, my specialty is promoting individuals. My first job was the SID. Yes, I've been an athletic director. Yes, I've been a conference commissioner. Yes, I've been a director of championships. But the one thing that I do is promote people. I plant seeds and empower to lead others to greatness. And so we began to do that, and I would say within the year, we got their attention, not meaning to, okay, of the not the commissioner, superintendent, the superintendent of Selma Public Schools, and she said, "What's this about this recruit ready?" She saw it on Twitter and on social media, and she shared with her what it was. She says, "I want you to apply for the athletic director position." Now, what Katasha came to me, she was trying to get an athletic director position or administrative position on a college campus. And you see what happens when you begin to do the work. It's like playing football. You know, the ball is supposed to be in the area. You don't necessarily have to see the wide receiver where you throw the ball. The whole key is you got to be in motion. And so I'm really excited about sharing her with you all inside the Facebook group tonight at 6 p.m. I'm glad to be able to do that. And we'll also be bringing it next Wednesday. So although this is our last live podcast, I will be with you live within the Facebook group. I am, you know you really love a book when you put the book in your pocketbook. I am ecstatic about our newest media partner, Asia Foy, the author of the book, Success is My Major. Hey, professional development is one of the things that I enjoyed the most as a conference associate commissioner, to assist others to reach their desired destination. And so reading this book, I mean, I probably could have just sat down and just read it and could tell you a whole book, but it is so good that I have to take it and digest it and think about it. You know, my father was an English teacher, and if he ever had a book, he's going to write in it. So I got notes everywhere in this book. And it's interesting because she brings my remembrance other professional development books. And one of them is Stephen Covey. And you see, I kind of mentioned something that's a Stephen Covey principle. But his is begin with the end in mind. But I kind of was like, you know where you want to go, but let it start now, being where you want to be, carrying yourself as if you're already there. And so although Katasha was not an administrator, she could carry herself as an administrator even though she was a coach. And so Asia Foy, as a student athlete, Asia was determined to prepare herself for what was next. While basketball was her first true love, she had an obsession for leadership and professional development. So you know this is my kind of girl, because I am what? I didn't know I was obsessed with it, but it really is. If you look around here with all the books, my husband will tell you I am obsessed with professional development and leadership. That's why I'm a leadership strategist for athletic departments and a sport organization and individuals who wish to advance in athletic administration and sports. It's funny because I just dip my hands as if I was passing a ball, like giving an assist. I live for assisting individuals in leadership first. And the first part of any part of a leader is self-assessment. And this book will really help you self-assess where you are in your leadership. Because again, if you want people to follow, you have to really realize what they are following. And do you know who you are and where you need them to? And, you know, in order to do that, you got to build trust. And I want to really impress upon you that you need to get this book, not just for yourself, but for your ball players. This girl is deep, and she's pretty young, but she's deep. After facing adversity in the areas of personal success and growth, now is that not transparent? She was driven to motivate others. See, again, when you're trying to be a leader and you start thinking about you and how great you are, and how you can make the others around you great, that's what a leader is. Yeah. A leader, you can determine if you got other leaders behind them. Yes, yes, yes. Not just followers, but followers that become leaders because of your leadership. Asia understands achievement both on and off the court with her bachelor's degree in sports administration and her master's degree in higher ed. Asia understands achievement. She has a history of success both on and off the court. No matter her job title, Asia wants to help teach lessons to ambitious individuals and motivate teams to be their very best. I didn't even mention that she was a Power Five. She was on a Power Five women's basketball staff. Didn't even mention that part. So this girl is tight. I mean, really tight. And I'm enjoying the book. In the cover, it says, start and title, Leave Unforgettable. Now, if you have been around any young people, that should trigger something for you that you need to get this book. Because it's hard to get them to see. Because everything you see on social media is about me, 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 me. Look. I'm the greatest. I'm the GOAT. But, you know, Michael Jordan wasn't the GOAT until he realized he had to elevate his players around him. When Phil Jackson said, if you the center, then you got to be able, the center of attention, not the center on the courtyard. Okay, I just want to be clear. That you need to make sure you understand what motivates the rest of your players. Because that's what I do as a coach. So if you're the center of the bull's eye, you need to understand how to distribute that power. Yes. So how did we get this book? Oh, yes. Now, it's funny, not really funny, but, you know, the generation, you know, my mind automatically goes to Magic. Her mind automatically goes to Kobe. And so every era has one that can be relatable. But honestly, you know, if you want to meet this next generation, they only see Michael Jordan as the person, the owner of the Carolina team. They don't even know the struggles he went through. But if you can be able, and I'm sure, the generation after this will be LeBron. But they got a different type of story. And I will say this, to be real honest. With today's issues and our kids realizing, which I think is great, that they can be a leader off the court, you still have to hone that and develop that. This is a great book to do that. Great. And not just for women, just for men as well. Okay? So how you get the book? You go to successmajorbook.com. Successmajorbook.com. And you'd be really surprised. She's got some goodies in there. I think she has taken the book and made a course, has a curriculum. So I think it'd be really, really great for you to be able to, especially, I know, you know, many teams will have contest during the Christmas holiday, but during this downtime, you don't want to, why not read a book as a chapter as a group and be able to discuss it? That will grow you and your team. So go to successmajorbook.com. And I mentioned about our magazine. Our magazine can be found on Amazon. If you want to get the e-version, go to payhip.com, Caesar Empowerment. Again, payhip.com/Caesar Empowerment. Issue one and issue two can be found on those platforms. Season three is in production. You're saying season. Issue three is in production. And I'm going to begin to take contributors for issue four very soon. But if you would like to get that information about contributing to the fourth issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports, just email me at MoniqueAJSmith@SaesarEmpowerment.info. We'll be glad to get you on the docket. And I do want to make one comment. I have been excited about the fact that we have so much content, but I must let you know that season one through five was on a different network. And so the links that are inside the Facebook group for season one and season five will not work. But hey, guess what? I put all of the podcasts in a vault, and you have access to it. You can visit 200+200+expert to get access to that. And we're glad about the hard work that our engineer and our VA has done to make sure that was possible before switching over to the new network. And so just a couple of commercials. Yolene Robinson of Stepping to Win is our expert on the financial game as it relates to the new way of investing. I think I shared with you all last week. It just blew my mind that our young people just don't know about investing. The young lady that I mentioned, she talked about teaching student athletes about stocks. And I said, why are we just not talking about investing, you know, having more than one income stream? Because stocks is not necessarily the way to go by itself. And the key is that traditional ways are not the only way to go. And it's funny, we're talking about generational. It really is as if back in the day when you heard somebody kept their money and put it underneath the mattress, we would go like, you did what? Oh, that's not wise. Well, it's the same way with some of the traditional ways of investing. Some of that is just not wise, especially when they're only earning or yielding what? 0.0000 and then a number, you know? So if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you need to call Jolene, okay? For real. You need to call Jolene. And again, Jolene is a former college basketball coach, a winning college basketball coach. And because I know her personally, she is conservative. She is not one of those try the new scheme kind of thing. Absolutely not. She's not a risk taker. She's a hard worker, and she's a studier of the game. So I have a very, I feel very comfortable saying she studied this investment game. And yeah, you got people all the time trying to get you to talk about investing and whatnot. But this is someone I trust. She's one of us. She's not an athletic administrator. Just reach out to her at, you can text her at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. Or you can email her at jrobinson@stepping2win.com. My last commercial is one that I think is so much needed now, and I'm so glad that she wrote it, which is Surviving in Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. She wrote this before the pandemic, and I endorse it, but don't just take my word for it. The NFL purchased the book for all the participants of the Celebration Bowl in 2019, and she actually spoke to them. And the reason why I'm saying this is something we need for such a time as this, I'm going to bring our guests on very shortly, but I've got to share with you this, okay? So with this time that we're in with name, image, and likeness, our student-athletes are jumping into the professional ring without being professional yet because they can go ahead and get contracts in exchange for their image, likeness, image, you see, name, image, and likeness for dollars or services or whatever. And they just don't know, people. they got to know. They got to know their value, and they got to know how to pick individuals that got their back. So very recently I came into the knowledge of something that got under my crow people, okay? Young lady exchanged her name and likeness on social media in exchange for a drink company, okay, near her college. And she said that she was getting $100. But she found out later that a men's basketball player was getting $200. And I'm like, so did you say something? And she didn't say anything. You know why? Because they are so conditioned that I don't want to mess up my opportunities. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Like, huh? No, 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 no. And all they had to do was post something on social media to drive people to their store. And traditionally, you know the deal is. The women were all up to it and doing it continuously. The guys did it one time and didn't do any more, but guess what? They got their 200 and they got their 100. I'm like, do you think that is equitable? Because I don't use the word fair because that's subjective. So I said, did you contact a lawyer? You know, because even athletic department can't tell you if it's a good deal or bad deal. So we're not even talking about athletic administrators. Okay, this is why this book is crucial, because when you get the book, you say, hey, you might want to check this out. This tells you how to pick people on your team. And so I was able to say, which I was afraid about, one of my other mentees just got her law degree. I'm going to tell her to put her shingle out, her electronic shingle out for times such as this. This is atrocious. Like, you know, the business doesn't think that, nope, they're not going to talk, number one. And, I mean, it's interesting because I use the battle of the sexes in my class to teach about inequities. I'm like, man, we still doing this? We still doing this. The book, Surviving Life, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. So we got to be able to let our athletes know about their value. Must. And, you know, I actually put in the door a TED Talk on this. I just submitted it yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm going to stand tall on this issue. So this book is on Amazon in three different formats, audiobook, paperback, and electronic or ebook. Okay? So go on Amazon. Treat yourself, because it's a great story. Because even it talks about athletes telling their family members, I need to have somebody who's more in, connected in the system. And, you know, you would think traditionally this would be for a football player, a basketball player. But as you can see, we're talking about track athletes, gymnasts, soccer, all of our athletes, depending upon their circles, have a level of influence that can garner them to have additional cash. How do you, as I've been teaching my kids, how do you do the offense, teach them how to brand themselves and pick agents that can assist them to do the right thing? You know, I'm like 2 seconds from going to that store, like, how dare you? But I'm going to hold back, I hope. Y'all pray for me, okay? All right. Hopefully, the young lady, from my conversation with her, she got enough fuel in her to go and speak up for herself. But that's just terrible. So hopefully you feel my passion for that. You go get this book, Surviving the Lights, Professional Athlete's Playbook. And, again, it's on Amazon. Audiobook, paperback, and ebook. So I'm excited about bringing our guest today. And Monica Maxwell, Director of Athletics at Indianapolis Arsenal Tech High School. Welcome to the garden, Monica. Hi, Monica.
Hey there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. How you doing?
Okay. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic for the last podcast of 2021. And so I'm excited that that spot is you.
I am too. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So we're going to jump right on in, and I'm excited about sharing your career path with everyone in the garden. Let's start from college to your current position.
Well, you want me to share that? I got it.
Yes, start from the journey from college to your current position. Take us down the hill.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I was fortunate enough I played college basketball at Louisiana Tech. Had a really good career there, and went to two Final Fours, played for a national championship in 1998, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight the other 2 years. So pretty successful college career at Louisiana Tech. After college, I went to was invited to the Washington Mystics training camp as a free agent. I was not drafted. In 1999 was the year that the ABL players were included in the WNBA draft, and in turn, a lot of college players did not get drafted that year. So, but I was invited to the training camp of Washington, ended up making the team in Washington. Played in Washington for 1 year, came to Indiana, was traded, picked up in the expansion draft, played in Indiana for 3 years. And after I finished playing, that transition from being an athlete to kind of being in the real world was a tough one. I had to figure out what I wanted to do. Right after my playing career in the WNBA, I actually went to be a production supervisor at General Motors here in Indianapolis at the stamping plant. Found out really quickly that is not what I wanted to do. And then I went into college coaching, coached a year at Tulane down in New Orleans. Just happened to be the year of Hurricane Katrina. And I left there. And I went and coached out a year at Cal State Northridge. Enjoyed that. Figured out I'm not a California girl. But while I was out there, I got a call from the superintendent at East Chicago, which is my alma mater, and asked if I would be interested in athletic administration. And that's how I got my call into athletic administration. And now I am in my 11th year as an athletic director. And I was at my alma mater at East Chicago for 7 total years. I was a middle school AD here in Indianapolis for 3 years. And I'm now at Arsenal Tech High School, as you mentioned, in my first year here in Indianapolis.
So since this podcast is really for athletic administrators, I'm going to slow you down and really dive deep about how you got the athletic administrator position. So you were coaching and you got that call. Who was the call mm-hmm. from, and how did you make mm-hmm. that transition? And then step by step in your athletic administrative roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think I knew once I got into college coaching, I knew almost immediately that I wanted to go into athletic administration. So when I was at Cal State Northridge, I got a call from our superintendent. He was the superintendent at the time at East Chicago in their school district. And the current athletic director there was going to retire. And I think he was looking for some alumni to come back and take over that position. So in my first 2 years in athletic administration, I was actually an assistant AD at the high school level. And then our athletic director left, moved out of state, and I rolled into that athletic director position. So
okay,
that was the first couple of years.
Well, let me ask you this question, because this is some truth to it. I experienced that in Virginia. So, and I think you agree that it's relationships, because being a high school athletic director is a coveted position for people who are a coach within the system. It's hard to see folks, even though you were a graduate of that school, to come in to be that. So would you agree about it being a coveted, and how were you accepted by coming in, and was there already an assistant AD? Did they make that position for you? How did that develop?
No, I agree with you 100%. I think the athletic director position is definitely a coveted position. I think it's one of the most visible positions on any campus, high school, I don't care what level you're at. It's one of the most visible positions, which in turn comes with a little bit of pressure. So,
mm-hmm.
I was not in education at all. I'm not a certified teacher, and in a lot of school districts in Indiana, you have to be. So the position that I took as assistant AD was not a position that they had previously. That position was created for me, and initially it wasn't received well by the teachers union. Some teachers filed grievances for whatever reason, but I think once I got into the position, and I was just me. I didn't change because of the position. I try to do things to help people, to help our student athletes, and help our coaches grow. You know, I think that the community and the coaches, and in some respect, the teachers got behind the athletic department, and the support. The support that I received from people who were genuine, I appreciated that. There was always going to be some pushback and some level of politics in the athletic department. And I tried to always stay away from that. But, it's just, people see athletics as a way of advancing their own agenda sometimes. And it's never been a part of who I am and how I do business. So that didn't sit well with some people, and I was okay with that, I'll be honest. And I'm still okay with that today.
Okay, so after you were assistant, how long did it take you to become the AD?
So I was assistant for 2 years, and then the athletic director, he left, and then I was there for another year at that school as the AD, and then I left and came down to Indianapolis, and I was AD at a middle school for 3 years. So I eventually
went
back to
Chicago. So how did you find out about
that
position?
So I am a pretty active member in the IIIA, which is our State Athletic Directors Association, and the NIAAA, which is the same organization, just on a national level. So I have the good fortune of having a lot of people around the state that I've either worked with or I know from just from being an active member of that association. So I had a member of that association. He was the district athletic director in the district that I eventually worked for, and he said that there was going to be a position opening up. And he called me when it did. So that it was just a matter of, like you said, who you know, and that's how it worked out in that situation.
So you stayed at the middle school how long before you moved up?
So I was at that middle school for 3 years, and then I left there and moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and did a little work at Vanderbilt. After I finished working at Vanderbilt, I ended up coming back to Indianapolis and working for Advocates for Athletic Equity, which is formerly the BCA. And so I was working there at the NCAA in their offices. Did that for, a year, maybe a little more than a year before that organization ceased operations. And then that's when I went back to East Chicago as the athletic director. for 4 years.
Okay, and after that?
After that, I'm in my current role now. So I left there and came to Indianapolis. And I think it's noteworthy to say that I live in Indianapolis, and I have lived in Indianapolis for the better part of 20 years. Although I've worked all over the country, I've always kept a home in Indianapolis. So coming back to Indianapolis for me was coming back home. So it all worked out well.
Well, speaking of Indianapolis, something just came out yesterday that I was like, oh, yeah, this is just right timing for us.
Yeah.
I believe in an announcement about a Hall of Fame. Would you share with the people about that?
Yeah, so the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2021 came out yesterday. I was completely humbled and very blessed to be included in that class. I think it's a star-studded group of ladies. There are 11 of us that are going to be inducted. And, it all seems surreal kind of still, but just what a blessing. I think I put it on something. It's just the game of basketball has given me so much, probably much more than I can ever give back to it, but just very, very fortunate to have been included in that class.
So just so folks, if they just get a little confused, I thought she played at Louisiana Tech. So, and she's from Chicago. Tell everybody what your contribution to Indiana has been.
No, I am from Indiana. I'm from Northwest Indiana, Hammond, to be exact.
Okay.
Born and raised there. I went to high school in East Chicago, which is in Indiana. A lot of people think that's in Illinois.
Oh.
It's very close to Illinois, but it's in Indiana. We were good. I mean, I was a good player on a good team. And my teammates should get a lot of credit for some of the accomplishments that I have gotten. But I should say this, because I know some of my teammates are listening. Our 1995 girls basketball team, which is my senior year in high school, our team was ranked number one in the country. And that team will also be inducted into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. So I'm excited that I'm going to go in as an individual, but I get to go in as part of that team as well. And that means much more to me than individual accomplishment. Yeah.
That is big. That is big.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm excited about
it. Wow. And you should have seen my excitement when I said, ooh. I got something else to say. But, you know, the convention that just happened, that's one of your mainstays, the NIAAA. And how important is it to be in organizations in order to advance?
Oh, gosh. It's extremely, extremely important. I think you're involved, and I'll speak just from my own personal experiences, but my involvement in our organization at the state level, which is IIIA, but also at the national level, the NIAAA, it's just the career path that we have all chosen is a servant leadership position. And when you get involved in these organizations, you are there to serve. And I think that is it's of the utmost importance, and it helps the organization grow. It helps the individual grow. It helps other individuals grow, your colleagues, because we all look to each other. It's like iron sharpens iron, right? Mm-hmm. So we are all sitting around learning from each other, because it's not that much different. We all have issues, And some of us in some cases have different issues, but when you start talking to people on a national level, you realize that your issues are really not much different than somebody's issues are on the other side of the country. But, you know, getting involved in those organizations, and I think, just personally, I think that representation matters. So, I mean, me getting involved is because I saw somebody who looked like me involved. And I want, you know, the ADs coming behind me to be able to say, oh, man, like, she looks like me. I can do, you know, what she did. So, you know, those organizations allow you a lot of opportunity and a lot of resources to grow and develop as an individual in your career.
So who was that person that you said looked like you that told you you could do this?
I'll tell you, I mean, most recently our president of the NIAAA is a black female from Fort Worth, Texas, Lisa Langston. But before Lisa, there was Annette Scogan, who was also from the Dallas area. She was the president of that organization. On the state level, there's Teresa Wins, who was, she's a Hall of Famer in her own right as an official, and was the state association assistant commissioner for, I don't know, probably 15 years or so, and just recently retired from the National High School Federation. I mean, there are several females, and in particular some black females that have mentored me along the way and given me some great advice. And I love my male counterparts. I don't want to discount them.
Right.
There are just certain things that us female athletic administrators deal with that they don't deal with. And, you know, I think that being prepared for those things on some level by my mentors has been instrumental in my growth and my career.
And I believe Anne is a supporter of the garden. I'm searching her name. Yeah, she is.
Who?
We're blessed.
Who did you say?
Anne?
What name? Was it support?
What's the name of the person you mentioned?
Teresa Wins.
No, I was talking about Annette.
Annette Scogan.
Yes, I'm sure she is. Yeah. So my next question, and then we're going to go to break, what keeps you motivated in this industry?
You know, I think just the opportunity to help other people. And I think our immediate attention typically goes to student athletes, and we want to help them. But, you know, I really want to help other administrators as well. I think that, you know, I have some tools in the toolkit, and I've had a few experiences now where, you know, I can kind of be that sounding board or that mentor for some young athletic directors and help them grow and develop in this area. I think this job is such a burnout job. You know, it's sometimes it's very, very thankless until you make a mistake and everybody notices something. But, my motivation is keeping good young ADs involved and helping them grow and develop. And that obviously comes second to getting our student athletes prepared and ready to be productive members of society once they leave. And go to the next level.
Yeah, I will say, surprisingly, most of the members of the Advanced Academy, and you were talking about feeding upon each other, we have some like a mastermind. And to be honest, they learn from each other from how they overcome some adversity. And I believe that once a month gathering allows them for the fuel to get over for the next 30 days. So sometimes I come in with some resources, or I have a guest expert to come in and talk to them. But, you know, I've noticed that my background is in college athletic administration. I was right when you were a freshman in college, it was my first year being an AD. And now I'm 54. So I got a couple of experiences in the conference office, now being a consultant. But I will say most of the folks that come to me are high school black female athletic administrators. And so we do have some individuals that began in that group who are now athletic directors on the college side, but they still come back to the well to get that feeling of, I'm okay. You know, it's like a roller coaster. You know, you watch people on it. They seem like they're having fun. They're screaming, but they're having a great time. I think I want to go on that roller coaster too. So we're really blessed with that. So we're going to take go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I was going to say, it's just real quick. We recognized, Black Athletic Director, we recognized during COVID how much we really needed each other. And we created a group called NOMAD, N-O-M-A-D, which is National Organization for Minority Athletic Directors. And that group, and it's not comprised of just minorities, but we do focus in on providing opportunities and just being there for each other, you know, when we meet. So so you're right. I think that minority athletic directors at the high school level, they're so few and far between that we need an organization or needed an organization to support each other so that you didn't feel like you were out there on the island by yourself.
Well, you know, I did have a reception with ANA Athletics at the last convention before the pandemic in D.C., and we had a nice number of black women athletic directors to come in. I should have come out there to Denver, but ANA Athletics had like a little sips and tips. She had that last Sunday night down there at the NIAAA, and I was just happy for the connections with it. And I would love the pictures where I saw where people had met virtually, but now they were meeting in person. And again, this is so a community. Community actually is like the kryptonite for the mental wellness of mental illness. Yeah. I would just say to keep you from having a thinking in your head. You know, I'm not the only one that keeps you going.
Absolutely.
Glad to be.
Absolutely.
Look, I was a cheerleader. I was a cheerleader from Virginia. Like, y'all have a good time down there in Denver. And you take pictures and you connect.
Hey, don't say that. Hey, don't say that too loud. Principal might hear you. We were working.
Oh, yes. Working to become better. Absolutely. So,
it was good to see people. No, sorry.
Oh, okay.
It was good to see people and hug their necks after 2 years of being away.
Wow.
But we did we did have a good time in Denver. That's not to be denied. But as you said, we did grow and develop as well. We worked a little bit.
Well, I have no doubt. I mean, I actually saw some of the topics that were covered in some of the sessions. So, like I said, I was a cheerleader over here in Virginia, just rooting for you all. Because, again, I'm all about growing. That's why we are chatting in the garden. That's why the cup is called Season Empowerment. I'm big about that. So, my engineers, we got 10 minutes left. I must take this commercial. When we finish this commercial, we'll come right on back to you, okay?
Okay.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat and Ground with Snickers and Blooms in athletics and sports. Well, Monica, I got like two more questions. What would you tell your 18-year version of yourself?
Oh, man. I think at 18, I was a really shy kid. And all I wanted to do was play basketball, really. I think I would probably tell myself to be more outgoing. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I was already very, very competitive, but I was very shy. And just tell myself that I know I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to learn from those mistakes. Everything's going to be all right. I think when things happen to you at that age, you think it's the end of the world and that you can't recover. And obviously that couldn't be more further from the truth. But, yeah, I think I would just try to encourage myself a little bit more and learn from some of the mistakes.
That's good. Have you checked out the series Swagger?
No, I have not.
Yeah, my husband's got me hooked. it's on Apple TV, but it covers AAU basketball and high school basketball because his love interest is in high school. And it doesn't talk about her being on the AAU team, which I, I engineered, so she's been watching it too. Girl, it's so funny because I find myself hollering at TV like I'm in the stands talking about the game. I'm like, no, cut to the middle.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My husband, look. Sometimes my husband forgets that I know the game. He was like, that's called a trap. So it's like, yeah, I know that, but how do you break the trap, okay? You know, I was like, don't you dare. You know, say, look, we went to see the movie about Hank Aaron. Not Hank Aaron. Oh, my gosh. Who's the guy who voted the barrier for baseball?
Oh, wow.
Not Hank Aaron.
No. His last name is
Guard. I know. My brain just went numb. But we watching the game, and he's going to tell me. That's called a cutoff.
Hank Aaron.
No, not Hank Aaron. Is it Hank Aaron? Yeah, it is Hank Aaron. Girl, my brain's...
Okay. Yeah.
No, Jackie Robinson is who I'm talking about.
Oh, we got people screaming at us all over the place. You know that.
I know. Jackie Robinson. He broke the barrier. But, you know, it's so nice that, you know, we can mess up because we did miss some icons. But Jackie Robinson in the movie, we in the movie theater, and he's telling me, yeah, that's called a cutoff, man. I'm like, why do you act like I'm not in sports? You know what I'm saying? Which is kind of good, but then it's like, because, you know, when you in this business, you don't never know who's really with you for what they can, you know, what kind of tickets they can get. Can I get some jersey? Can they introduce me to so-and-so? So it's kind of like you're kind of stuck. You got to be able to count the blessings when you can. So I want my last question. I believe reeds are seeds. What is a book that has assisted you in your leadership?
I'm a big John Wooden fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love his book, is Pyramids for Success.
And, I'm about to say the pyramid.
I think, you know, and I've read, you know, I like to read personal stories about people too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, I've read a bunch of books on people, Phil Jackson and
mm-hmm.
Pat Summitt, Tony Dungy,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot. I mean, I haven't read Dennis Rodman, and believe it or not, he has a lot of good nuggets in his book.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think for the John Wooden Pyramids of Success, they are so timeless that you can go back and read them over and over and over again and get a different perspective every time you read it. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, so I think that's a good one.
Well, I hope you heard me talk about Age of Foy. That is an excellent one. It is,
mm-hmm.
She, as it relates to professional development, to be so young, she sounds like a seasoned coach, athletic administrator, professional. Mm-hmm. So I definitely would. This is the number one book, this generation, and the next needs to succeed. So she may be our John Wooden of this generation. Isn't that great?
Well, I wrote it down. Success is my major. I'm going to order it. I'm going to get it.
Outstanding. And I didn't say, but I'll tell you, she's an assistant coach at, or she's on the staff of Kentucky, University of Kentucky.
Okay.
So I believe that
she's on
blessed to have her. Huh?
She's on the women's basketball staff?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I feel very basketball connected today, and triple A, and so glad that we have grown together here in the garden. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions for serving as our engineer and our VA. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. for a replay. This is our last one of 2021. Have a blessed holiday. And stay tuned for all our replays because we'll still be here. We just will not be live. But I will have Facebook contributors, Facebook Live tonight at 6 and next Wednesday at 6. For all Facebook's Chat in the Garden follow-ups and podcast follow-ups, join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.